Welcome to the Zillionaire Superstars podcast. My name is Angie Z, and I'm a master coach. If you are keen to learn the abundance secrets of the mega successful, so you can follow your dreams, you are absolutely in the right place. I am super passionate about helping entrepreneurs all around the world gain clarity and confidence to level up their mindset, health, and wealth. This podcast episode is proudly brought to you by the brand new Zillionaire Coaching Program, helping you to level up your mindset, health, and wealth, creating success in every area of your life. So let's get to it. I'm super excited to introduce my very special guest today, Tyler Wagner. Tyler is host of the Business Blast podcast, and he's just recorded his 1,000th episode last week, and he's also the founder of Authors Unite. It's a great pleasure to have you here, Tyler.
Yes, it's a pleasure to be on. I appreciate it.
Definitely, 100%. So do you want to tell all the entrepreneurs out there exactly what you do, what your business is about?
Yeah, for sure. So as you introduced me, I do two main things. One is I host a podcast. I absolutely love doing the podcast. It's more of like a passion project than anything, really, because I just love connecting with new people. And as you said, 1,000 interviews, so it's definitely I've met a lot of people. And then my main business that I've been running for about 6 years now is called Authors Unite. And in that business, we basically help people write, publish, and market their books, and it's focused around business and personal development books.
Beautiful. And that's, huge these days, right? I feel like every entrepreneur out there is writing a book or in the middle of it, or they're writing their second or third.
It's definitely a very big space. And if you are, anybody in the audience is thinking about it, I would definitely recommend doing it. And just from my own experience, it's a beautiful foundation to have for yourself and your business.
Yeah, 100%. And it does. It takes a lot of work, obviously, to sit down and write it in the first place. But what's the difference between, say, Authors Unite and going to another publishing house or what have you?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'd say what I believe really differentiates us from, if you will, competition, and just to be transparent, because so many people want to write books, I don't even view my competition really as competition, because the market's so big. Like, as you said, once self-publishing became available, it's anybody has access. If they're willing to put in the time and effort, anybody can become an author. So the market's huge. But I will say where I think we really are different is that we not only publish and market the book for somebody to help them hit the bestseller list, we also do things after that as far as building them a sales funnel, doing their Facebook ads, doing their Amazon ads. And there's a lot of stuff we do after the launch that I see a lot of other companies are kind of missing, and that's actually where a lot of the profit is made. Because you can become a bestseller and that's great and all, and it's good for branding, but as far as actually getting a good financial return and actually making a true impact with your book, typically doesn't happen just from hitting a bestseller list and then sitting on the beach and not doing anything else. How it really happens is hitting the bestseller list and then riding that momentum and doing things like Amazon ads and podcasts like this. And then if you have a business on the back end of your book, having a proper sales funnel that you've tested, and having proper Facebook ads that you've tested that convert potential leads into clients, right? And that's where we, I think, go the extra mile.
Super important. And, it is about taking that deliberate action as opposed to just writing the book and thinking it's all said and done. There's a lot more that goes on, both pre and post, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. It really, at the end of the day, right, marketing never ends.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
And that's actually what excites me about it, because I'm one of those people that, if there's a ceiling and I know there's a ceiling, I'm, not motivated. Now, with running your own company, there's really no ceiling. So, whatever I put into it, I get out of it, and that's exciting. And the same thing goes for book marketing or marketing your business. The amount of things you can do is limitless. So, really, the goal is not to do a bunch of things, but to focus in on the things that produce a proper outcome.
100%, 100%. And you can just even hear in your voice how passionate you are about your businesses. So that's super awesome. That's what we want. Now, in terms of getting into your own business, you've said you've had it for about 6 years now. What was actually the turning point for you to go, right, this is it, this is what I'm doing?
Great question. So I kind of stumbled upon it. So my story is, I was in college, and it definitely didn't feel right. Like, I knew just myself, like, I'm a very, like, happy-go-lucky guy, and, like, I didn't think that, like, wearing a suit every day in a corporate environment would suit me. So I kind of knew that in college, but when I was in college, I didn't know what I was going to do. I just knew that this wasn't it. So after 2 years, I ended up reading in college. I read two books. I read Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, and I read The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss.
Cool.
And after I read both of those books, I felt comfortable dropping out, right? So I was like, okay, I know school's not right for me. Now from reading these two books, I feel like I have the mindset equipped to, like, make something happen, but I still didn't know what I was going to do. So I drop out, reach out to some mentors, and I let them know, like, hey, listen, I'm an extrovert. Like, I think I could speak on stages and, like, be pretty good at it. So I think I'm going to try to do that and see if I can get paid for it. Because right now I'm $80,000 in debt. I'm a dropout. I'm 20 years old. Really, things aren't going too well.
Oh, God.
So I think let's try to figure this out. So what they told me is the root word of authority is author. So if you want to be, especially, you know, 20-year-old dropout with no expertise, if you want to be taken seriously and get paid to speak, you should write a book on a topic that you would want to speak on, and then you'll be viewed as an expert in that topic.
Right.
So that's what I did. I wrote a book on conference crushing. It was my first book. It ended up doing really well. Like, I researched how to publish, how to do a book launch, and, like, compiled a book launch campaign. During the book launch, I actually stayed up for 3 days straight, and it was crazy because I was like, I didn't want to miss any part of it. Like, I did everything I could possibly think of.
Wow.
And it ended up doing really well. And then after that, I did get booked to speak at conferences, but what took off way quicker was a lot of people started asking me how I did my book.
Right.
So I helped some people for free in exchange for testimonials, and I really helped them for free too to see if it would work for them like it did for me. And it turns out that it worked exactly the same for them. Like, I got them pretty much the same results I got myself, and then I got testimonials, and then I formed packages or services, and then I was like, okay, this is the business, and I enjoyed doing it. And then, you know, since then we've helped over 300 people become authors now, 6 years down the line.
Holy dooly, that's amazing. I love hearing stories like in terms of how people got started and overcome challenges. So what did it take for you in the startup phase? What were the secrets to, you know, getting this off the ground and making everything happen?
Honestly, I think, and just from my own experience and seeing other people, it's the same advice I'd give somebody on writing a book. It would be the same advice for, like, starting a business. And this might be slightly controversial, but I think that it's a little bit more artistic than it is so strategic. And what I mean by that is, I wrote a book to become a public speaker. I didn't write a book to help other people write books.
Mm.
So my success was actually pretty much randomly stumbled upon due to the fact that I just kept taking action. So, like, I took a risk by dropping out.
Yep.
I potentially took a risk by writing a book because maybe it wouldn't have turned into anything, and I spent like 6 months on doing it.
Right.
So, like, that could have been a wasted 6 months where I could have been working at a job and making money or something, you know, but I was doing that, which wasn't producing income at first, you know.
Right.
So I really believe that success comes down to, and there's elements to it, but I just believe the foundation is to allow yourself to complete processes and learn from them rather than try to come up with the perfect plan and have your first attempt be perfect, because it never happens that way anyway.
True.
And I do that with everything now, even the podcast. Like, I'd be honest to say, like, the first 200 interviews on the podcast, they were kind of messy. Like, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't have systems in place, but I just flung myself out there, figured it out. And then the next 800, I had a nice system in place. Everything was like organized, but I wouldn't have got there without the first 200.
You do have a very impressive system, Tyler. Very impressive.
Yeah, right? But it wasn't always that way. Like, it was very messy at first. And that's, I think people are too hard on themselves. And I think if you can, like, come to the conclusion, and that's what, getting back to the book, like, when people ask me, like, you know, how do you write a book? I say, don't worry about perfecting it. Just finish your first draft and accept the fact that your first draft is probably going to be pretty terrible.
Yeah. You know?
And
yeah,
that's okay. It's supposed to be terrible, because if your first draft was great, that would be crazy. Like, that never happens. So, I mean, you just got to accept that your first attempt at anything will probably be pretty poor. But if you keep reattempting by your fifth, sixth attempt, you may have something that works really well that can be successful.
Yes, I can definitely relate to that. Mine was, very messy.
Yeah.
Hence why it never reached publishing stage.
Well, and that's, you know, and there's a lot of other elements, right? Like, I definitely recommend anybody, too, like, you do a round of self-editing, a couple rounds, as a matter of fact, but then you should always hire a professional editor, because you need a different set of eyes on your book.
Yeah,
For sure. But I just mean, as far as, like, if you want to finish, the best way is just to allow it to be messy, and just, once your rough draft is done, it's a lot easier to, like, take things away that are bad than it is to add things on.
Mm-hmm.
So I recommend get it done and then remove the bad, and then you're left with something good.
Yeah, that makes sense. So just speaking of that, though, and having gone through the experience myself of working with an editor, how do you not choose the right one without, like, with ensuring that you don't lose your own voice, if that makes sense? So if the editor's quite different, how do you get that to align?
That's a great question. So, and this isn't a, I'm not trying to plug, so let me say two things. I'm not trying to plug my own company here. I'll just, like, now with my company being 6 years old, I'm at a point where I've worked with the same group of editors for long enough that I know how good they are.
Yes.
So, like, I always feel comfortable sending my clients to my editors. Now, that, again, that wasn't always the case.
Yeah.
In the beginning, when I first started out, there was a ton of editors that I was working with, and sometimes that problem would occur where an editor and one of my author clients would come together, and the client at the end of it, at the end of, like, the first round of edits, would reach out to me and say, hey, listen, like, I don't think this is actually the best editor for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what I would recommend, if you are, you know, not using, like, I'd say, like, a trusted company or something, and you're, like, more going freelance, for whatever reason that may be, I would say have them do, like, a chapter.
Yes.
Like, almost for, like, sometimes, you know, if it's a big enough project, they'll do a chapter for free so that you can feel them out.
Yes.
And then if you like the way that chapter went, then you can pay them. And honestly, even if not, it's worth you paying them maybe, let's say, like, $200 to just do a chapter, and then you don't waste months of time. Not the right person. So I'd say have them do a sample.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Definitely. It saves you a lot of heartache if you continue on with them and realize halfway through that, you know, it's not working.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So in terms of you starting out, what did you find like, in terms of your own mindset to be able to create success in your business, what were some of the important points for you?
Mindset. Well, I'd say one thing. So I'm an avid book reader, mostly audiobooks. And I think, like, and I don't know if they've ever measured this or not, but I do believe there's a direct correlation with the amount of books you read and the amount of success you have.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously you have to take action on what you read. So that what I just said is not necessarily true. Like, if you just read a bunch of books and you sit in your room all day and do nothing, then, you know, that's not going to happen.
Yes.
But, like, your knowledge compounds. So it's like, I don't know how many books I'm at now. It's probably a few hundred. And I, like, every morning I'm 2 hours audiobook. So I'll say, like, in the beginning, that was the most important, because – nobody has success in the beginning. So when I kept like listening to these books and learning and hearing of other people's successes, it kept like reassuring me, like, you know, all these other people have done it. Like, why not me? You know?
Mm.
And so that was more important. It was even more important than what I was learning was more like the motivation of it.
Yes.
So, and actually what I'd say too, another part is surrounding like that, I think it's a Jim Rohn quote, you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with.
Yes, 100%.
I'd say in the beginning, that's the most important because there is something to be said about momentum. Like once you start to have some success and you feel like how much better it feels to like have a nice, like kind of comfy, you know, money in the bank. And
yes.
And when you feel that difference, like, at least from my experience, most people don't go back to, like, not having money because they know that, that it doesn't feel as good. So the momentum drives them to continue onward. And it's not just money, it's impact and everything else. I just mean, like, once you do see your first sign of success, you have momentum, and then you can really speed up. Whereas in the beginning, being surrounded by other people that are at the same spot or above you was so important. I actually lived, when I dropped out of school, I lived in an entrepreneur house with six other people.
Oh, wow.
And we were all, I think it was like two of us were already successful, and then four or five of us were just starting out. But like we had like accountability with each other. We would say what we were going to do and we would hold each other accountable for it. And just being in that energy, especially when you're an entrepreneur, was so unbelievably important for the beginning stages.
Yes. Yeah. That would have been very helpful for all of you, I'd imagine, having, you know, someone as a sounding board or to give advice and share their thoughts on what you were doing and things like that.
Unbelievably, because the biggest thing is too, again, in the beginning, without the momentum and you don't have a boss, so like it's hard when you're running your own thing. It's very easy because you have all this free time, right? Quote, free time. So it's easy to be like, oh, I said I was gonna write today, but I'm gonna watch House of Cards on Netflix.
Yeah, that's so true. You've got to be disciplined.
Totally.
Yep. Yeah, use your time wisely.
Absolutely, yeah. Netflix, delete it.
Yes, yeah, definitely. It can be dangerous if you don't have that willpower. But yeah, you're right. It's definitely those people that you associate with can make a massive difference, particularly to your mindset and how you feel every day, right? Because that then determines what actions you take that day as well, and gaining that momentum once you're on that. Things just sort of start to flow. You feel in more alignment and, yeah, things start to happen for you when you're taking action daily. And I think people underestimate how the small actions you take daily start to add up over time.
Definitely, yep. And I can't remember what it was, but, like, in the beginning of your day, even if it's just small little wins, that's another form of momentum in just, like, a short time frame.
Yeah.
So even if, you know, I do my walk every morning, so like, and it's night and day. Like if I don't do my walk in the morning, I don't work as effectively that day because I feel like I literally missed something, you know?
Yeah.
Like you have a routine, even if it's, you know, just brushing your teeth, these little things that you do lead to the bigger things that later on in the day that you achieve.
Yes, I would have to agree with you there too. And exercise can really help. Your mindset as well and how you feel and, the actions you take on a daily basis as well.
Yep, exercise, in my opinion, is the key to focus. Without exercise, I cannot stay focused.
I feel like something's not right in my day if I don't exercise. I've got too much energy.
Totally, like I don't feel good if I don't go on my walk, so.
So speaking of that, obviously you're an avid reader and you exercise. Is there any other success rituals you have in place or anything you do regularly that helps you, you know, with your mindset and the success in your business?
I'd say two things are coming to mind for that. So one is I plan tomorrow the night before.
Okay.
You know, so like then it's like when I wake up, it's a lot easier to get that momentum going because I already know what I need to do.
Whereas yes.
if I wake up and the first thing I do is plan, that takes a lot of mental energy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's better to just wake up with a plan. So I would say that is actually, it sounds simple, but that's actually pretty huge.
Okay.
And then I'm blanking on what the other thing was. Let me see if I can remember it. Come back to me on the other thing. I lost it.
So being an avid reader, what book would you recommend to entrepreneurs out there to help them get their business up and running or to get them in the right mindset? What's your go-to that you keep going back to and rereading?
Yes. So a lot of beginning entrepreneurs ask me this question, and I tell them the two that I read. And that's because Thinking Grow Rich just, mentally equipped me. That was, to me when I first read that book, it was mind-blowing. I was like, okay, wow, I've been thinking incorrectly for a long time.
Yes.
So that book for your mental, and then 4-Hour Work Week for just business. It really made me realize and provided me the confidence to go out and drop out and do it. It made me believe I could do it on my own.
Yeah.
So if you want to be an entrepreneur, I think starting out with those two books is great. And then also just realizing that learning never ends and just continuously being curious will be very helpful.
Yeah, that's definitely true. The learning does never end.
Yeah, never ends, and it never should, right? It's interesting. If you can fall in love with learning and fall in love with the process and not the result inevitably will get better because of that.
Mm, yeah, so true, so true. So in terms of throughout your time, so you've had the business for quite a while now, so for you, what would be the most challenging point in your business and how did you turn things around?
I'd say the most challenging point was probably, besides the very beginning, was probably 2 years ago. I guess it was about 2 years ago, yeah. So as a consultant, which I would probably classify myself as that, you end up hitting a ceiling.
Right.
Only coach so many people
mm-hmm.
before you just run out of time.
Right.
So what I actually did is instead of doing coaching, I switched over to Done For You and then hired people and taught them how to do what I was doing with, helping people write, publish, and market their books. And Done For You services, you do have to keep hiring more people as you scale, but they're actually more scalable than coaching. Now, you can do group coaching. Right, but I was doing, and that's also another way to scale. But I'd say that happens. So typically, once you hit your first couple six figures, 200-300 grand in revenue,
yes,
as a coach, and you, it's just you. That seems to be around the point that you need to then figure out a different system or hire. So what I did is I stopped coaching, and I just was listen. I know we can be more effective and actually produce better results if we switch to Done For You.
Mm-hmm.
That's allowed us to scale to high six figures. And I've hired people for that. And now the next level that I see is creating a course because then you're not even involved. So the next level is a course. And I believe, that's how you can scale, at least with online to the 5-10 million area or something. So I'd say it's scaling.
Yeah, definitely. Really important. So what's your future goal? What's one of your big goals for 2019?
2019, I really just have two, and they're not necessarily numbers per se, but my two main goals is I've truly found what I love to do. And the one thing is I love doing the podcast. I love interviewing people. So I plan on just continuing to do that as much as I was, if not more. And then because a book has changed my life and, I've helped it change other people's lives, my other goal is just to help as many other people that want to become authors do it the right way. So those are our two main goals for 2019.
Awesome. Fantastic. We wish you every success with that, 100%. So who or what inspires you?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I get two things. I mean, and this might sound kind of conceited, maybe myself does, and it's just because, like, I think we all know what we've been through to get where we are. So it's like sometimes I really do. I just sit back and I'm like, damn, I'm proud of you, man.
Like, I love it. You so need that. I mean, seriously, 100%. If you don't believe in yourself, others won't either. So no, I think that's a fantastic thing. We need a lot more of that. I think it's the way it's done though, right? As long as it's not that arrogant, egotistical sort of way, like the world owes me.
Yes, absolutely. And I'd say the other thing is Gary Vaynerchuk.
Yes.
He really inspires me just to like see how much like he really does work. And like I probably started to watch him like 4 years ago.
Right.
And that really like, that like put it into perspective for me, where it's like, I think a lot of people when they first start out, they think success is some like magical thing that like happens to people when they're like lucky. At least that's kind of what I thought, you know. I was just like, you know, these people are like lucky or something. And then I watched Gary Vaynerchuk and I'm like, dude, I mean, yes, we all are born with specific things that like we're naturally good at. So like some of us are born with a great voice. So it's like, yeah, you have a gift. And like your chance of being a professional singer is better than my chance, you know?
Mine too, as much as I would love to be able to sing.
Yes, exactly. So that's true. But at the same token, you gotta put in the work. And,
yeah.
And once I saw his blog and just like watched his stuff, I was like, okay, yes, like the genetic thing's real, but at the same time, like if you put in the work, like you have a way higher chance of being where you want to be. So he inspires me.
Yes, definitely. I know the amount of overnight successes that take, you know, 10 to 20 years to create is unbelievable, right?
Yeah.
That's true, isn't it? Yeah, so true. So didn't you interview Gary as well, though, Tyler?
Yeah, so I got to interview like my idol, which was really cool.
Amazing. How did that come about?
So it came about, I interviewed a woman on the Business Blast podcast, and then afterward, she tweeted at him and was like, hey, you should make this guy's day and be on his podcast. It only takes 5 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and literally he responded, like she sent me a screenshot like a couple hours after our interview, and she said it was pretty immediate. Like he responded right away and was like, fine, and tagged his assistant, and then I followed up with his assistant and booked it.
Oh my God, that is just meant to be, right?
Yeah,
amazing.
That, this is what's interesting. So I'll say, I think the other thing has come back to me, what we were talking about before.
Yes.
And I want to mention, so like, now, some people would look at that and call it luck, and part elements of that is luck, you know, like I didn't even reach out to him, you know, like, so it was lucky. But I am finding that the more people I connect with and build strong relationships with, the better things get to be. So whether you're going to do a podcast or not, and with my podcast, you know, like the volume I do like 30 to 40 interviews a week.
Mm-hmm.
So I am meeting 30 to 40 new people every single week. So podcast aside, that in itself is so valuable. And I just happened to interview a woman that tweeted at him. So all I'm saying is like, if you're just starting out or even if you're well into business, it doesn't hurt to build new relationships like on a consistent basis. Like it is a very good thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree with you. And that's one of the things I love about podcasts as well. It's building those relationships, meeting new people, and, yeah, just the interview process, so much fun.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Very cool. So, Tyler, if people want to reach out to you, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Yeah, for sure. Best way is just authorsunite.com. If you're interested in doing a book, definitely check out the website. There's a free video that teaches you our process. If you want to reach out to me directly just with any questions, just tyler@authorsunite.com is my email.
Fantastic. Well, I'm sure a lot of people will be in touch with you, definitely. And thank you so much for being on the show today, Tyler.
Of course. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Zillionaire Superstars podcast. There is more to life than you think. Let me show you the possibilities. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on iTunes. And for further information, visit angelinazimmerman.com. Catch you next time.